We're coming now to our scripture reading, and Dr. Douglas is going to read the scriptures for us.
Let us turn together to the Word of God. We're going to read from the book of Hosea, chapter 14. Hosea is the first of the minor prophets, and if you'd like to turn it up in your Bible, maybe if you're not quite sure, you would find Isaiah, then Jeremiah, Lamentations, of course, then Ezekiel. After that comes Daniel, and finally Hosea, in that sequence. And today we're going to read from this 14th chapter. Verses 1 and 2 in the chapter set the scene for us, and they show us that the message in Hosea chapter 14 is all about getting back with God, coming back into His presence, coming back into His fellowship. And it is the second verse which carries the instruction, take with you words. The Lord tells us the very words to say when we're coming to Him with a contrite heart. Now, take with you words. That's what God says. This shows how important words really are, especially those words that we're using when we're speaking to the Lord. How important it is if our words are in line with God's own word. And the best thing by far is the position that we can take when we actually use God's own word to come to Him. We pray best by using God's words, taking God's words even to the throne of grace. Take with you words. The Lord doesn't leave you in no man's land when you're praying with a contrite heart. He's showing you the form of prayer, the very manner of your approach. Take with you words. Now we're really interested to read this chapter, aren't we? Hosea chapter 14. O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Take with you words, and turn to the Lord. Say unto Him, take away all iniquity, and receive us graciously. So will we render the calves of our lips. Asher shall not save us. That's Assyria. Assyria shall not save us. We will not ride upon horses, neither will we say any more to the work of our hands, ye are our gods, for in thee the fatherless findeth mercy. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. I will be as the dew unto Israel. He shall grow as the lily, and cast forth his roots as Lebanon. His branches shall spread, and his beauty shall be as the olive tree, and his smell as a Lebanon. They that dwell under his shadow shall return. They shall revive as the corn, and grow as the vine. The scent thereof shall be as the wine of Lebanon. Ephraim shall say, what have I to do any more with idols? I have heard him and observed him. I am like a green fir tree. From me is thy fruit found. Who is wise, and he shall understand these things? Prudent, and he shall know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the justified ones shall walk in them. But the transgressors shall fall therein. Oh, may God bless this wonderful chapter to every heart, and let us all rejoice in the Lord and in full fellowship with our Saviour even this day. May the Lord bless His word even for His name's sake. Amen.
Amen. Well, we're turning again in God's word to the Psalm 23. We have been looking at this psalm together for a number of Lord's days now, and we want to return to it again together this morning. The last time we were in this psalm, we were thinking about the sheep being satisfied, and the sheep that had been led to the green pastures, able to feed upon that new grass, and having been drinking from the still waters, the sheep was then able to lie down. And that sheep lying down was the picture of contentment, that picture of satisfaction. And moving on from that, we are coming today to the third verse of the psalm. And I want to take Psalm 23 and the verse 3 as my text for this morning. And the subject here, as you can see, is that of restoration. And that follows on from what we have been looking at already in verse 2. The sheep is now restored. And the psalmist David writes in verse 3, "He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake." Now, with these words before us, let us unite together in a brief word of prayer. We're conscious that we need the Lord's help and that without Him we can do nothing. So let us pray for the Lord to draw near. Our gracious God and our loving Heavenly Father, we come before Thy presence in the attitude of prayer, and we come, O God, to confess our great need of Thee. And as we open up the Scriptures together, we do thank Thee for the blessing that Thy Word has been to hearts. We thank Thee, O God, that Thou hast been blessing the ordained means. But yet as we come, O God, this day, we realize that we need that fresh grace and we need that fresh help from heaven. And we pray for the Holy Spirit of God Himself to infill our hearts and to be our teacher, to be our instructor, to reveal the things of God to us, and grant our God that even this day we would learn more of the One who is our Good Shepherd and our Great Shepherd and our Chief Shepherd, draws each one out afresh after our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. And may all that is said and done be God honouring and God glorifying. We offer this our prayer in the Saviour's great name. Amen. Well, David himself was a shepherd, and he knew very well the character of the sheep and the proneness of the sheep to wander. And of course, there's no animal that would stray and wander as much as the sheep. And it's always the job of the shepherd to bring the wandering sheep back again to where it ought to be. And although David himself had been the shepherd, he humbly places himself here in the position of the sheep, because David knew the proneness of his own heart to wander. And he knew also those times when the Lord had to draw him back again to himself. That would have happened on more than one occasion. And therefore, as David is writing in Psalm 23, something of a psalm of testimony, he must make reference to those times when the Lord restored his soul. And therefore, we come in our text of Scripture today to these beautiful words: "He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake." And those words form a very important part in David's testimony. Remember, the words are speaking to us spiritually. And David is thinking of those times when he knew his heart had wandered far from the Lord. And yet the Lord in grace and in mercy was to draw him back again to himself. We would sing the words of the hymn, "Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love." And we have to come at times and pray to the Lord and say, "Lord, bind my wandering heart to thee." Oh, we're just like the sheep, and we too can relate to the experience of the psalmist David. And so the words this morning would really have special application to the backslider. The backslider is one who has been truly saved, genuinely converted to the Lord, but they have gone astray from the Lord. They have turned into bypath meadows. And I would add a word of caution. There are those today who perhaps would say that they're in a backslidden state, but they were never truly saved. They were never genuinely converted to Christ in the first place. But there is such a thing as the genuine backslider. One who has been in that relationship with the Lord. They have enjoyed that blessed fellowship with the Lord. But something has happened in their lives. The devil has overtaken them. And they're no longer in fellowship with the Lord. We know that the relationship cannot be broken. The Lord will always be our Heavenly Father. The relationship is not broken, but the fellowship is broken. There's no longer that communion with the Lord. And that's the time that David knew about. That's the times that he would be thinking of here as he writes the words of verse 3. And of course, many of us can relate to this experience when the devil has overtaken us. We have been enticed, we have been tempted, and the devil has drawn us away from the Lord, and that fellowship with the Lord was marred. You remember in David's life, when sin came into David's life, there came that time of confession, that repentance to the Lord. And whenever David prayed, and the Psalm 51 would record his prayer, and you come down to the verse 12, he said there to the Lord, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." Not "restore unto me thy salvation." That hadn't changed. But David had lost the joy of his salvation. He had lost out with the Lord. He had lost that fellowship with the Lord. And therefore he could look to those times when the Lord had drawn him back again, and the fellowship that he had lost out on was graciously restored. "He restoreth my soul." Therefore, when we come to this third verse together, it could perhaps be a word in season to some needy heart today. A word in season to someone who could even be listening to the message being preached. Someone who at once was going on well with the Lord, but when was the last time you enjoyed fellowship with the Lord? When you experienced that satisfaction, that contentment, the joy of your salvation? Has the devil robbed you of that today? Now here's a word in season to your heart, that the Lord is able to restore your soul. And as we come to the words of verse 3 together, there are a number of simple observations that I want to make upon this text of Scripture. Firstly, the restoration. The restoration itself. "He restoreth my soul." Why was there need of restoration? Well, there would be various reasons. If you take here the illustration of the sheep, and you're thinking about the flock, and within the flock there would be many different needs with the sheep. And there could be the stubborn sheep. And the stubborn sheep is the one that wants to go its own way. The stubborn sheep who is determined to do its own thing. There would be, of course, the straying sheep. And Isaiah the prophet in chapter 53 and the verse 6, he likens us to the straying sheep, and he says, "All we like sheep have gone astray, and we have turned everyone to his own way." And there would not only be the stubborn sheep and the straying sheep, but even at times the sick sheep. Those sheep that have fallen with some disease, or maybe they've suffered injury at the hands of an enemy or a predator. There are all these various reasons why a sheep would need to be restored by the shepherd. And remember, the Bible is written in the context of the East, and here we're thinking about the Eastern Shepherd. The Eastern Shepherd. And the relationship that they would have had with the sheep. And they carried with them in their possession three different instruments. And two of them would be mentioned in verse 4 of the psalm. They would carry the rod and they would carry the staff. But as well as that, they would carry a little bottle of oil as well. And these three implements, the rod, the staff, and the bottle of oil, they would have been used in that process of restoration for the sheep. If you think, for example, of that stubborn sheep that we mentioned a moment or two ago, well, the stubborn sheep who's determined to go its own way and is so obstinate, it needs the rod. And the rod of the shepherd, it will come to the stubborn sheep by way of chastening. One who's willfully determined to stray away from the Lord needs to be chastised, and the shepherd will seek to do that. Not to do it in anger, but the shepherd will want to do it out of care and out of love and compassion for the sheep. You picture the sheep there that's determined to get away and to maybe go into a dangerous area, or perhaps going near to the edge of a cliff, and the eye of the shepherd is upon that stubborn sheep. Shepherd will take out the sling. And of course, the shepherd would have been an expert with the sling, and David knew all about that. And if there's a sheep that's getting into a dangerous position, the shepherd will drop a stone pretty close to it in order that the sheep might look up and be warned of the danger and would return back to the fold again. But if the sheep stubbornly continues on, the shepherd will take a second stone and will land that stone within inches of the sheep. No doubt startle it for a moment or two, maybe enough that it would take the warning shot and it would come back to the fold. But if that sheep stubbornly continues further, then the shepherd takes the third stone. And with the third stone, he could possibly break the leg of that sheep. Now, it seems cruel. The animal rights might not be too happy about it, but it's better for the sheep to have a broken leg than for the sheep to fall over a cliff or to perish. And so the shepherd is doing that in love, and immediately he does it, he will go to that stubborn sheep, and he will take out the splints that he will have, and he will set the leg of that sheep. It may be for a time he would have to carry that sheep, and so the sheep during that time when the leg is healing, it's going to enjoy a real closeness with the shepherd. And perhaps that stubborn sheep will finally have learned through being chastised the need to stay close to the shepherd. You know, the Bible speaks of our loving shepherd who at times has to chastise his children. Perhaps that was the thought in Hosea chapter 6 and the verse 1, when we read there, "Come and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn and he will heal us. He hath smitten and he will bind us up." The Lord who tears is the Lord who heals, and the Lord who smites is the Lord who is able to bind up. And as the loving shepherd, there's times when the Lord must chastise his people if they're willfully and stubbornly going away. Of course, in Hebrews chapter 12, we also read of the Lord who chastises his people or chastises his children. And in Hebrews 12 and the verse 6, it says, "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not?" And here's the loving father or the loving shepherd who comes to break and to heal and to tear and to bind up. Here's the loving shepherd who comes to chasten the stubborn sheep in order that it might learn and it might come back into the way. Psalm 119 and the verse 67, we read these words, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray. Before I was afflicted, I went astray." Verse 71 of that psalm goes on to say, "It was good for me that I have been afflicted." You see, there's a learning there that when the Lord allows that affliction to come, and the Lord perhaps using it to chasten his sheep, to chasten his children, it's a time when they're going to be drawn back to himself and they're going to be restored again. In Hebrews 12, where we were reading a moment or two ago, the verse 11 of that chapter says, "Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." And no one who's experiencing a time of chastening enjoys it. It's not a pleasant thing. "No chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous," the Apostle Paul writes. I have four children, and whenever they were younger, of course they were angelic children. Very rarely did it happen that they misbehaved, but if they did, and as a loving father, you have to chasten, not in anger, but in love. I don't remember any of them enjoying it so much that they ask for more. No, it's not a joyous or a pleasant experience, but nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness. There's the connection there. And you can see the connection in our text of Scripture. "He restoreth my soul, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness." And we'll see that connection a little more in a moment or two. Restoration and righteousness. And so there can be the stubborn sheep, and it needs to be chastised. But what about that straying sheep? That's the sheep that needs the staff of correction. One that's just straying that little bit, maybe still close enough to the shepherd whereby he's able to reach it with the staff, and just with the staff he's able to gently redirect it again. And with the staff he's able to draw it back and redirect it into the right way. Some of God's people can begin just to begin to stray away. Maybe to become distracted with the things of this world. Maybe to get taken up and preoccupied with all of the cares and responsibilities that their fellowship with the Lord just begins to wane, and their heart begins to grow cold, and they're beginning to stray away from the Lord, and they need the Lord to come and just to draw us back again into the way. The straying sheep, they need the staff of correction. But there was that third sheep that we described that would need restoration, and that was the sheep that was sick. And that's where that little bottle of oil would come in that the shepherd in the east would have carried. You know, every night whenever he would call the sheep, and he knows his sheep, he can call them by name, and they would be coming into the fold to settle down for the evening. As they come in, he would examine them. And the loving shepherd is looking to see, is there a sickly sheep, or is there a sheep that has been injured with being out on the mountainside through the day? Are there any cuts or bruises there? Is there any wound there? And if there is, he's able to take out that little bottle of oil, and he's able to soothe the wounds, and he's able to care for the sheep that is sick. And that oil there speaks to us of the Holy Spirit of God. Times when God's people can be battered and bruised by all that the world would throw at them. And we need the comfort of God the Holy Spirit. We need that healing, that restoring virtue of the Holy Spirit of God. And that's why on this occasion in our text of Scripture, David is able to refer to it, because he knew all about it. He could say of the one who was his shepherd, "He restoreth my soul." Times when he was stubborn and he needed to be chastened. Times when he strayed and he needed to be corrected. Times when he was sick and he needed to be cured. He could say of the Lord, "He restoreth my soul." Would you just think of that word as it appears in our text of Scripture? Restoreth. He restoreth. Literally, it means to turn back. Or even more than that, to bring back. That is actually to cause the sheep to return. And you can see again the hand and the work of the shepherd there. It's the Lord's doing. He restoreth my soul. He's the one who is able to turn us back again. He's the one who's able to bring us back and to restore us unto himself. Restoreth. The root word here would appear over 1,000 times in the Bible, and there would be therefore numerous examples that we would be able to turn to in the Word of God. But Dr. Douglas read for us from Hosea chapter 14, and that chapter gives us a great example of what it is to be restored unto the shepherd, to the bishop of our souls, to be restored unto the Lord himself. Now, Hosea 14 had to do with Israel, and it starts out at the very first verse, and there's a cry goes up, there's an appeal there, and it says, "O Israel, O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God." And the word there, return, that's the same word. That's the same word that is translated in our text of Scripture, restoreth. Charles Spurgeon said of Hosea 14, "There's no chapter in the Bible that can be more rich in mercy than the last of Hosea." The last chapter of Hosea, when the Lord could have poured out justly his wrath, he comes now in mercy. He's rich in mercy. And he's saying, "O Israel," pleading with his backsliding people to return unto him. "O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity." What is the appeal here from the minor prophet? It is for God's people to get back to the Lord, to be restored to the Lord. Verse 2 of Hosea 14, "Take with you words and turn to the Lord." And there in verse 2, it's the word turn. That's the same word again. And so to be restored unto the shepherd, to be restored unto the Lord, it has to do with a turning. And as verse 2 indicates, it's taking with you words as you turn to the Lord. There's to be that confession of sin, that repentance toward God. Hosea chapter 14 and the verse 4 comes with a wonderful promise. And the Lord says, "I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. And that's the word appearing again in our English Bible, turned away. Turned away. Although being used here of the Lord's anger being turned away this occasion. Hosea 14 and the verse 7, they that dwell under his shadow shall return. And again, that word is appearing so over and over again. And these are just a few examples of that turning to the Lord. The one that has strayed away is the one that needs to return. And so that cry is going up. That appeal is being made. That God's people would return unto him and be restored unto him. In Psalm 126, the verse 1, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. That's the same turning that we're speaking about, a turning that is involving a restoration unto the Lord. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as streams in the south. The turning from sin, the turning back to the Lord. That's what this restoration is all about. In the Psalm 80, the psalmist would pray, turn us again. Turn us again, O Lord God of hosts, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. It's very clear that the idea of this restoration is a returning back to the Lord. Remember that beautiful parable in the Gospels about the lost sheep. You read about it in the Gospel of Luke. The shepherd that had 100 sheep, but in counting them into the fold, he realizes that there's one missing. There's one lost sheep, and he leaves the 99 in the sheepfold, and he goes after that which is lost. The shepherd who cares enough to go after the lost sheep. Do you know that shepherd is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ? He is the heart for the lost sheep. He is the heart for the sheep that has strayed away. And he comes after that sheep in order to bring it back, in order to restore it unto himself. That's what David is speaking about here. When he says, he restoreth my soul. The Lord can restore your soul today. The Lord can heal your backsliding today. And he can restore unto you the joy of your salvation. Now, we had wanted to go further with this text of Scripture, but time has beaten us today. And so, God willing, we will return to this same verse next Lord's Day. But may the Lord bless his word to each of our hearts.